Are your brakes squeaking or grinding? Is it time for an alignment? Before you hit the road, hit up Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big O Tires on State Road 39 can help you get back on the road in no time. With dependable service, honest advice, and fast turnaround times, Big O Tires in Lebanon is the team you trust. Stop in and talk to owner Alan or manager Lauren, or call 765-388-4715. Visit them on Facebook at Big O Tires in Lebanon to stay up to date on exclusive offers. When your car needs care, trust the name drivers rely on, Big O Tires.
And they're off. Look at that speed, that style, that weight. What's that behind the pace car?
It's a cargo trailer from TC Trailers, and it's rushing the competition in storage value and sheer trailer goodness.
TC Trailers has over 300 trailers on the lot. Haulers, goosenecks, concessions, everything but the checkered flag.
Need a pit stop? TC's got full in-house repair shop, parts store, and financing that'll have you back on track faster than a tire change.
Zoom over to tc-trailers.com or cruise out to State Road 28 East of Frankfort. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
I can see your future. Sometime in the next month, you'll go out to eat again.
Jenny here. The Big Deals online store can make your future even brighter with restaurant gift certificates. There's something for everyone. They spend just like cash and never expire, so you can buy them now and use them whenever you want. Shop anytime, save all the time. The Big Deals online store.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BoonCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
The road to the sectional championship starts now, and your home for tournament action is AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone 102.7. Coverage begins this Wednesday at 4:45 with a softball doubleheader as Clinton Central takes on Bethesda Christian, followed by Carroll versus the winner of Clinton Prairie and Frontier. Then on Friday at 4:45 p.m., the guys take the field as Rossville kicks off a baseball doubleheader against Bethesda Christian. From clutch hits and strikeouts to dramatic finishes and championship dreams, we'll bring you every exciting moment from sectional tournament play. Join us for live coverage of high school boys baseball and girls softball sectionals on AM 1570, 96.9 WILO, and Boone 102.7. Your home for local sports, brought to you by The Farmers Bank, Collisions Unlimited, Milner Community Healthcare, Wampler Services Incorporated, and Home National Bank.
And welcome back to Party Line. Oh, that was a good one. Huey Lewis in the news. I always love those guys. Going back in time, a little Power of Love. It is a labor of love, the Red Barn Theater, for sure, with Michael Taylor, Andy Slifer in studio joining us, and we greatly appreciate them. I said as going out in out queue that there was a caller, and we want to welcome Russ Casper to the show. Good morning, Russ.
Well, good morning, and congratulations to you guys and the Red Barn Theater, a part of the fabric of our community. You know, and I think I saw you at the Civic Theater, too. You had a lead there, Michael.
Yes, yeah. That was my very first Civic show. Since I've been here, my schedule has been so tight, I've never had a chance to do it. And this year, the schedule just worked, and I said, what the heck? And I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun.
Well, you may not have been paid a lot of money, but you were paid a lot of laughs. You got a lot of
Well, we never do it for money. I mean, we'd like to, but...
Hey, that's how we feel about ice cream. We just love to sell ice cream. We don't like to make money. So
I could not help but think that, and I'm not making a commitment, but if you had a play that was based on astronomy or something like that, it'd be kind of fun to have a telescope out there. If the moon was coming up, you could, even before the show, you could see the moon during the daylight hours, and add to the music and the ambiance and the pre-play ambiance. But I remember...
I know a guy that's got a telescope, so...
Yeah, I know. I've got one.
Just happen to have one.
Yeah.
Right. I remember Mike Raines and I were in the Bury the Dead, and I think it was in 1968, and I had one line, and I think Michael Raines had two lines. And we had the privilege of studying under Martin Henderson, and it was on the stage.
Yes.
It was 68 the first year?
Yes.
Then it was Bury the Dead in the first year?
I believe so. I don't have my list with me today. Mm. I've got a list of all of them, but I don't have it with me. But 68 was the first year on the stage.
I was in the ninth grade, and boy, I'll tell you, Martin Henderson was a perfectionist guy. We would go through the whole play, and I remember one night, it was like the dress rehearsal. He did not like what was going on at all. And we actually stayed. We had to go through the whole thing a whole nother time. I think we got out of there like at 1 o'clock.
That sounds about right. I mean, and I don't think he's ever changed. Yeah. I mean, he takes it very serious. But yeah. I feel like I am who I am today because of that man.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell, would you take astronomy seriously?
I would like to do it. I just think of
Martin saying that right now, because that's and I appreciate that too, because we had a lot of offline conversations, and he was very focused.
Exacting.
Okay. Yeah, and very focused mm-hmm. on what he wanted
and expected it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I think I saw a conversation. Asper and Martin Henderson once, and I.
hey, believe me, brother. We've been talking about that a little bit off the air. So and see, I even mentioned that we should do. I told Michael and Andy they should do a show on radio, and and maybe in particular Casper Media, because it's some incredible stories that could come out of here.
Yeah.
Well, you could play yourself, Russ. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I right at the end of the bell curve there.
Yeah. Well, what was one of your favorite shows over the years, besides Bury the Dead?
I saw the one that you said with the midnight, with the blind lady. What was that?
Wait Until Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and I saw it with the lady that maybe she's passed now, but what was her name? One that kind of short daggone it, I can't remember her name, but she was with the theater, Red Barn Theater, for many
Jenny?
Years.
Was it Jenny Otterman?
No, it wasn't.
She's still.
It was. She had kind of a fun laugh. She was overweight a little bit and just fit the part perfectly.
Not Jay. Jan. You're talking about Jan. Jan.
Last name.
Oh, McGill.
Jan McGill.
McGill, yeah, that was her.
Jan. Jan.
She played that part, and I still remember that. She did a masterful job.
Oh, and when she's amazing.
Yeah, Jan McGill's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, there was a part in there when she was scared, and you could just feel her skin crawling.
Yeah, this one we're doing now, this is a new adaptation, new in 2013, I do believe. So it really kind of ups the thriller aspect of it. Some more surprises for the audience.
So. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, I remember too when the doors were opening and closing, and just as one door was closing, another one was opening. And this went on all night long, you know.
Which brings me to the point of the backstage stuff, because some of those things, the timing of being able to sound the sound effects, the lighting. If they're off, you lose the whole moment. And I got to believe that sometimes there's an actor that's going, okay.
Yes.
That probably never happens to you guys.
I was there in 78. I did costumes for Martin in 78. Yeah. And we played Hasty Heart. And there was a man that had to be dressed in an army uniform and switched to a kilt.
Oh.
In so many minutes. And so I was back there. You know, we were pulling things off and you know, just it's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
We did Leading Ladies last year, and Luke McLaughlin and Xander Hahn played these gentlemen who were cross-dressing and to trick the people to get money from a will. And they're switching back from the male character to the female character. I mean, some of those costume changes were so fast. And I don't know it's one of those things like you direct it, but you don't know what's really going on backstage because they're the ones that perfect it.
Yeah.
All I do is just sit in awe. And it's just amazing how Luke would walk out and you think he just literally walked through the door and he walks right back in a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
And it's, the work, it's just shows that they care.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Yeah, the timing in all of this is really important. And I think, Russ, I think timing is important in radio, So, but when you look at this that comes to life every weekend during the summer, this is just an incredible amenity. And, Russ, you sit on several boards that I'm on as far as economic development. How important is this to you in our community, the Red Barn Theater?
Oh, the more you can crowd people with reasons to come here, play here, live here, the better. Whether it's the Red Barn or the Civic Theater or the beautiful downtown square, Camp Column, the observatory, the disc golf, the TPA Park is one of our crown gems. With the lights and the 4th of July and the fireworks. And the Sapphire Bay, and these are very important. They're intangibles, in a way. They're experiences, and the Hot Dog Festival. I mean, I go on and on and on. But the Angry Donkey, places to eat. I mean, we need to treasure these things, and without being too prideful, I think even the radio station and the media. What we try to do, it's a little bit overbuilt for the population here, in my opinion, but anyway, we need to take care of the people that are taking care of us.
Yeah, because Michael was mentioning earlier, and Michael, you're talking about, and I think Andy said there's maybe two left as far as summer theaters, mm-hmm. and one closed and maybe opening back up, but we can take these things for granted, and when you do, sometimes you don't support it, and you wake up one day, oh, wait a minute, they're gone. And
Glover's Ice Cream. Lover's Ice Cream.
Yeah, Lover's Ice Cream. Yeah, we appreciate that.
On and on and on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying the importance of, A, understanding what we have, and B, then consciously supporting it in ways that's why I like the approach of the Nicklin Rye. He's very intentional of supporting local.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, Brady is, absolutely. And I agree, and we got, and not only that, but we sometimes too much focus on what we don't have, and we get caught up on what we don't have, mm-hmm. and we really miss on what we do have.
Right. The library,
the library is unbelievable.
Right.
Example. I forgot, and I should have mentioned that earlier, with the Skanta Theater, it's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, with the Civic Theater that goes on in Skanta, and all the music performances. It really is a great. You need to get Russ out there to play the piano sometime out there before.
He does. He has played in the past during the art show.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about at the Red Barn.
Oh, at the Red Barn.
Maybe do a little music before we can get you a little keyboard out there, Russ, and can play some jazz or something. So.
Well.
Put you on the spot this morning.
Squirrel, change the subject here.
Yeah. You go back to the telescope. That'd be. But I like that idea. So, Michael, do you write plays, musicals for local? I mean, have you used local? I think you have. If I remember, I think I've been to a couple over the years. How does that work into the whole show production lineup? If you do something locally like that, because you have to go buy these things.
A couple of them, yeah. So, I mean, one thing is if you do an original work and the author is just saying, "Hey, I want somebody to do it," then it's free royalties.
Yeah.
So, that really helps.
Right.
But finding a good script is also really hard.
Yeah.
There's a reason why some of them are purchased for publication, and some of them are not.
Right.
This year, the first show is one that that I've written. This year,
I see that right now. A world premiere by Michael J.
Yeah.
Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a couple of years ago, we did one by Michael Clausen, which was also great. And Scott Hahn, who is also local, we've done his work out there. So it's great to have these guys. I've actually kind of secretly, I haven't gotten together with them yet, but I'd love to do a piece with all three of us, to kind of throw ideas off each other. But when you attack it, it's it's awesome. Like last night we had our first read-through. So I heard all of the voices and all the characters for the first time.
That were already in your head.
Yes, and it's amazing when it's in my head and you write it and you see it one way and then they start reading it and they're seeing it just like you did. Mm. And you see that it sounds right. Now let's get it on its feet and let's see if it plays right.
Right.
That's the next step. Russ was talking about shows with doors. I mean, there's lots of doors in this. So it is literally it is a one door closes, another one opens. It's a very fast show. So we had a big talk about what a challenge it is. It's a very lightweight show. Bring the family out to see it. It's a lot of fun. But the work that it's going to take to pull it off, no one hopefully ever knows how hard it actually is.
Yeah, I'm going to read the quick bio on the production itself. Welcome to the German Tropics, a small bed and breakfast located on a 4-acre island just off the mainland. Timing couldn't be worse, as a tropical storm is set to hit the island on the busiest weekend of the year, containing all of the classic elements of farce and the action moves at a rapid pace, as you just mentioned, Michael, and things only get more complicated as a murderous escaped convict finds his way into the island, or I should say finds the way onto the island. I don't want to give anything away. Island just before the storm hits. So you've got a convict that gets on the island. You've got folks that are stranded. It's kind of like Gilligan's Island in a thriller way.
Yes, yes.
I like that. What was your motivation behind that?
Sometimes you just lay in bed and an idea hits you, and then you start taking notes, and then it just grows. It grows from there. There's several plot lines that take place, but it basically starts in one place and then it ends back on that story. But when you how you get to that is the most interesting thing. The most challenging is the doors, knowing who's in what room at what time. So you can't, you can't have two people in there at the same time. You have to know where one person's going to the next. So, I actually did a read through of it, with my class, my acting class. And so we got on the whiteboard, and each of them, as they were reading their characters, they would go up and mark what room they were in. And then once they would swing to another room, then they would mark to that. So we could see it visually how it all played out to make sure no one was in the wrong place or no one was doubled up. So
what happens if somebody does get? I mean, do you guys have a second cord on the parachute that?
No, not really.
Okay. Punt.
Well, look, we're going to an intermission, folks. Go to the concession stand.
You ad lib. You figure it out.
Yeah, jump in, Russ. Yep.
It might just create more laughs if they do make a mistake.
That's probably right.
Oh yes.
Nobody may ever know too.
Oh yeah, well has that? I'm sure that's happened.
Every show has that. A couple of years ago we did Lone Star Love Potion, and one of the actresses. Sometimes the audience they break us because you just never know what they are going to find funny, and every audience is different. And that night, somebody in the audience thought something was so funny that caught us off guard. And then the audience was laughing because they were laughing. Yeah. And we just held for so long that finally she started to break. And I thought, well, I have to do something. So I just started acting out and kind of ad-libbing. And then that broke her because she thought that was funny. And so you go with it, because then when the audience realizes you're kind of in on the gag too, then it just escalates.
I was at one something like that happened. There was something, and but then Jane Clark started laughing.
Oh,
and I was like,
you've got to laugh. Had to laugh.
She was
my hero.
Well, she was worth the price of admission.
That's right.
If you got her laughing, it was going to be an entertaining show.
It didn't take a lot. She was a very lovely lady.
Awesome lady.
I'll tell this one little story, too, about the doors. I had this little lady at Wesley Manor ask me, she said, now, are there going to be a lot of slamming doors in this show? I don't like a lot of slamming doors.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if she'll come to the first one, but anyway.
We got some earplugs for you if you have to. Well, Russ, what were you saying?
It reminded me of the Carol Burnett show, when people are trying to keep a straight space. I don't know if you remember one night I was flying my parachute, and I was flying over by the Red Barn Theater, low and slow, about, you know, 2 feet above the corn, and lo and behold, you guys were on a break or something, and there were about, I don't know, 15 or 20 people from the Red Barn Theater. Maybe you're taking a break, and so I just had some fun, and I went around, you know, a circle or three or four times and kind of gave a little show and spiraled up and cut the engine off and stuff. But I remember that. It was a special night.
Well, we'll have to start adding that to the repertoire.
Yeah, you know? That's a fun. Have you ever been in a pirate parachute with Russ?
No.
Yeah, Michael, you guys, you need, he just took one of our team members at the chamber on a ride this past, Zach, this past week. Hey, he had a blast. I'm glad you got a safe flight, so he was able to come back to work. But it is a great time. It gives you a different perspective, Michael. You're creative, so get you up there above the cornfield. It might be a good thing because you might come up with some really cool ideas.
Guys, let you bring it home, Shan.
Yeah.
But it's been talking to you, and I just wanted to share that my memory of Martin Henderson, Bury the Dead, practice till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. As a freshman at Clinton
That's
Prairie.
That's right. Thanks, Russ.
All right. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate it. Yeah, that, you know, that can either really scar you or it can, no, I'm just joking. I think back, though, I had a teacher, like Mr. Martin, or like his name was Mr. Martin, like Mr. Henderson, and very similar. He was an English lit professor, but he also did drama and all of that, and he was the same way. And I remember him telling me one time I was in trouble, and I needed a big hit, and so I memorized and did Casey at the Bat, and I did the whole thing, and I even acted it out. I did the whole thing. And he said, "Mr. Sheridan, I must say, I was quite impressed. I still don't think you're going to amount to anything, but I was very impressed." And I said, "Well, thank you, Mr. Martin. I appreciate that. I just want to know, am I going to pass your class?"
Yeah.
And that he said, "Yes, that was a passing of performance." So, but you know, I think back. Again, the opportunity that people have had at the Red Barn Theater and where they are now. Let's talk a little bit about that. Some of the folks that have gone on to do bigger, better things.
We've had a couple who have performed on Broadway. Zach Myers, who was the first year that Luke and I took over. We brought him in for the summer, and the whole time he was here, we thought, man, he's so talented, and he just loved the barn. He had not been to anything or been a part of anything like this. And then the following year we did Tarzan, and he was going to come back and play that. But then he said, "Hey, how mad would you be if I had to break contract? I have an equity gig and I think it could become something."
Yeah.
And I said, "I'm never going to stop you from becoming something." And then next thing I know, he's on Broadway.
Wow.
So,
that is awesome.
Yes.
That's a great story. I've come out, and there's been people that they're very talented, that they're going to probably go somewhere, and, you know, who knows? I mean, because most of them are going maybe in a different profession. They're doing this because the love of the arts, the love of acting, but many of them may go on to different professions down the road. But
Cassidy, she had already done voiceovers.
Oh, yes.
Before she was from California originally.
Yes, and what's the new? She's in the Mandalorian Goguru. Her voice is.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah. And the new Star Wars.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So okay. Cassie, who just was on the stage last summer, she was the lead in Xanadu.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's in the new Star Wars.
Her voice is. I don't know what she's doing. But,
okay, I do remember. That was part. She was a voice actress. It said in her bio. I remember reading that. Now.
Right.
Wow, that's very cool. Well, you just never know what opportunities. And again, though, it's also the experience that you're having. And I think, you know, I see your Red Barn. The actors, they all get the Red Barn church? So they
get the Red Barn.
So, yeah. If you're a company member, yeah. You do the full season, you get the red one.
Okay.
Now, if you come out and you help out her, then you get the Barnstormer. It's according to the job that you get. Cool.
Yeah, if you're a volunteer, come out and help us. We have a T-shirt that says, you're a Barnstormer.
Awesome.
So. The only way you get the red one is you have to be a company member, and work the season. So,
okay,
because they want to sell them, but
it's a good it's a good visual in the community for those people to know that to say, oh, you're a team member at the Red Barn, and if you're wearing the red,
right. But we also sell Red Barn shirts, not the red ones, but we sell a different variety at the cellar, which is the wine and beer.
Yeah.
Where they can get wine and beer. There's all kinds of mementos that you can purchase there.
Keychains and hats.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll make sure we'll work out a deal with your actor, your team members. Everybody's working. We'll get them some ice cream. So at my new shop, I've got a shop that's opening
up next
week.
Yeah, he's got a new shop
next
week.
Ice cream shop coming up. So we'll get that figured out, and because we want to make sure we keep all of our actors and actresses happy, and ice cream makes you happy.
Right.
Yeah, they won't be sad about that.
So how do folks, if they do want to volunteer, so how do they get a hold of you guys? What's the best way? Andy, I know you kind of been the, you went from keeping the library in such beautiful,
thank you.
And I know you've been with Red Barn for a long time, but that's been your love of just keeping things beautiful is powerful, and we greatly appreciate that
from you. Yeah, we just advertise social media and on radio and that we're having a day. We have two usually in the spring and one in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that wants to come out and help volunteer, pick up sticks, whatever they feel like they can do, you get a T-shirt.
Wow, very cool, and it's a cool T-shirt.
Yeah.
I like it. The Barnstormers.
Yeah,
it reminds me of. What Russ was talking about with his powered parachute, it could be barnstorming.
That's where it came from.
Sure.
Michael Clausen found that out, that there were players, actors that would go from place to place, and they were barnstormers.
Yeah.
And
it reminds me of the story Leroy Good told me. This is another one of those that could be an incredible play that, Frankfurt had the first murder in the sky, hijacking, sorry, Andy. It was in True Detective. I mean, it was amazing scenario of this man, how talented he was.
Oh. And he could do anything.
Yeah. Frank Pletch, I believe it was.
My grandfather.
Okay, that was your grandfather. Don't
want to
make Ernest Pletch. And, but Leroy, it was funny because Leroy said, "Now we don't like to talk a lot about this. It was not it wasn't a great thing." But I said, "Hey, Leroy, but it was part of our story."
Yeah.
And but he was an incredible Andy, I'll tell you the story off air. But it was an incredible story of what happened and how it all ended. But the thing is that when I think about things like that, it brings me back to just community. Is that we have the bad, the good, the roller coaster, but that's what you guys do. You bring that to life.
Right.
Because not every play is, I've walked away crying. I mean, there's some, there's some moments that you're like, wow, that was, that hit, And I think that's the part of the beauty of arts that you're bringing that to life.
Making people feel emotions.
Yeah, feel. Mm-hmm. Because I think we have desynthesized ourselves so much in the artificial that we sometimes forget that we do have emotion.
Right.
We're not just moist robots. We are people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that we forget that sometimes. And before we get out of here, because we're running close now.
Okay.
Our artificial intelligence, I mentioned earlier, how do you think that's going to play in your world, Michael, of entertainment and especially live performances? Is there a place for it?
In live performance, well, yes, in the fact of writing songs.
Mm.
You can just go right in
it's amazing,
and put in information, then there's a song.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm not a huge fan of it.
I mean, neither.
Now, if you're doing it to sell it as art, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But in a case of the radio, or we use like at Frankfurt High School, the HDTV, they need music that is royalty free.
Right.
So if you can get the students in there and developing that, and it's like, tell a story, tell your life. It's starting to make them be creative, you know, think creative, even though they don't have the knowledge of how to actually write a song.
Yeah.
So they can do that, and then they can showcase that music as royalty free.
Yeah.
In that point, I think it's great. But to try and sell it as art, absolutely not.
No, and unfortunately, that does get done. I mean, that's what's happening. A lot of things you buy online, you think, oh wow, that was probably done by AI.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I go to a lot of festivals, and there's a lot of vendors that sell art, and some of these artists are just amazing. And recently, you're starting to see more and more. We were at a festival where there was a table, and there was no one there in that vendor spot, and it just had a sign that said, "I tried to sell AI art, and I was released." So they wow. kicked them out.
Wow.
And they make it very clear.
Well, that's good. I'm glad, because we gotta have some guidelines. We have some guardrails. We need guardrails, because it's gonna.
Yes.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. Because to your point, I've thrown in some stuff. You know, I showed my wife the other day just how quick, and I said, "Hey, write a song about Tammy, and write a song. She owns a boutique." Da, 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 da. And before you know it, this comes out with this pretty little ditty.
Yeah.
Ditty.
And some of those songs are so good.
Oh yeah,
they're like, this is a banger.
Yeah, this is gonna be a fun. Okay, so we got the go ahead. Tell us.
Can I mention real quick? We want to invite the community, and this is a chance to come out and see the Red Barn without having to pay anything. This Sunday from 4 to 7.
Okay.
We have music the whole time. We have Michael will give barn tours. You can meet the new company.
Awesome.
We're gonna have vendors. We have the Bruno's truck coming.
Oh yeah.
Carmelot, if you've ever had it or not had, you should have.
Yeah.
Some of their stuff. We've got a couple other that I'm not familiar with, but come out and just see what the Red Barn is, and it doesn't cost you a thing.
No, that would be bad. Four to seven this Sunday.
This Sunday, the 31st.
I know a lot of people got graduation parties.
Right.
I got like seven. So, but hey, if you get a chance, get out there 4 to 7 this Sunday at the Red Barn, right there on Kelly Road. It's going to be an incredible summer. We wish you the best.
We're gonna have a kids cafe workshop one day this summer, and
awesome.
They can sign up for their kids that day too.
Fantastic! Yeah, you guys starting them young. That'll keep you going for a long time. That'd be great. You guys are doing the Lord's work. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
You do. Uh-huh, all right. Have a great day. Talk to you soon. Andy Slifer, Michael Taylor, and Michael's first play. It's going to be a good one. The German Tropics, and he wrote it. It's all written by himself and. Performed right here locally here at the Red Barn Theater. That's going to wrap it up for me. Good Lord willing, I'll be back with you next Tuesday. Until then, have a great weekend. Stay courageous and always be obedient. We'll talk to you soon.